What up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12. We have a lot to talk about today. Starting this week, obviously, Clay Helton getting fired is going to be the first topic we discuss because that's just obviously the most shocking news of the week. We'll talk a little bit about Dante Williams, who will be the interim coach, and then we will be discussing Arizona versus San Diego State and how that went down. Joining me will be Locked On Wildcats host Michael Luke. So a lot to look forward to for sure. And we're going to touch on everything.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12. Joining me now is Michael Luke from Locked On Wildcats. Michael, how's it going today?
Not too bad. Cindy, how you doing?
Good, good. You know, there's no better place for Pac-12 fans to get all their Pac-12 conference news than the Locked On Pac-12 podcast hosted by me. And then I have my occasional co-host on. But follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And then also subscribe to the YouTube because this is new for us, but we will be doing this more often now. This will be a daily thing. And it's giving you another way to listen and keep up with everything going on with the Pac-12.
Right.
So, Michael, first off, how was your weekend? I will just ask that first before we get too deep.
It was great, Cindy. How was yours? I didn't do much. I just watched a lot of football.
Yes, I tuned into a lot of football. I celebrated a friend's wedding, so I got to hang out with some friends. Yeah, it's been a busy year. It's been a lot of weddings. That was my fourth wedding of the year. I have one more to go in November. So
that's when you know you're popular.
I don't know about that. I feel like everybody just postponed their weddings from last year because of COVID and stuff. So it's just a lot going on.
For sure.
But, okay.
Yeah, I didn't do much, though. Just watched a lot of football.
Well, that's always a good weekend. I don't care what anybody says.
Like, nothing wrong with that.
Right. The best weekends ever. Just been on the couch watching football.
For sure.
So there was a lot of good football on, a lot of not so great football on as well. We will dive into your Arizona Wildcats a little later. But to kick things off, we have to talk about the most breaking news that happened a little earlier today. Mm-hmm. And that is the firing of Clay Helton, USC's Mike Bone. I hope I said that right? Bone.
Yeah, you got it.
He announced the decision and, you know, how USC is ready to go into a different route. And in his position, temporarily, the interim coach will be Dante Williams. He's the cornerback coach. Mm-hmm. A lot to unpack here, but let's start off with Clay Helton and that game against Stanford. And I guess it's obvious that that game is what led to this happening. But mm-hmm. I know a lot of people's opinion is that this was long overdue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people as well. I mean, when I look at Clay Helton, you know, you never like to see anybody lose a job, but I mean, he just wasn't good enough. I mean, USC, you should be competing for national championships. You should be. I mean, you know, you're from Southern California. You know what it's like when they're rolling. It's something unique, and that was just never going to happen under Clay Helton. My only question is why did you wait until the second game of the season? I mean, if his job status was that tenuous, why in the world wouldn't you get rid of him in this offseason and make a play for somebody? That's where I'm a little perplexed, Cindy.
Yeah, I feel like it leaves the team in a little bit of a disarray because all of offseason they've been with the mindset that this is their coach still. We're riding with whatever he says, whatever he's game planning for us. And now that's a bit of a shift. And I know they're hoping it's a shift in a good direction for the players, right. But I'm not 100% sure that's always the best option.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the best option at all because I think what happens is it blindsides a lot of guys. I mean, you don't, you know, I mean, if the administration's telling them, well, you know what, you're good to go. And then after your first loss, you're out. Why are we waiting this long? Why is this the case? To me, it should be something where, okay, yeah, we're going to get rid of him. And you know what? We're going to make a play for somebody really good. It just doesn't feel like it was done right, I guess, because I would have gotten rid of him a lot earlier. I know that sounds like, you know, speaking out of both sides of my mouth, but that's still the way what I would have done there.
Yeah. I will say that it was very clear. This game against Stanford left a bad taste in a lot of Trojans' mouths, and obviously the ones who make the decisions at USC. Do you think it's fair that because they decided to go with him at the start of the season, that they judged off of this one game, considering the first game, there were some issues, but they got a win.
Right.
And I mean, it may not have been ideal to lose to Stanford like that, but like, it's still very early in the season.
You know, it's a great question you ask. To me, this is kind of the epitome of, you know, somebody that's really bad at their job. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to fire them for coming in and not locking the back door on accident on the way out. It just seems like it seems something trivial that if it was that close, why in the world are you waiting this long? Because again, I mean, USC wasn't going to be great this season. I don't know that they were should have been expecting championships. And the fact that it one game is basically the straw that broke the camel's back, that just kind of shows me I don't have a ton of faith in the athletic department. Although maybe it is, maybe it's an opportunity, though, to give Dante Williams a chance. He was here in Arizona for a year, and he can really recruit. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in that situation.
All right, coming up next, we will dive into Dante Williams and everything he's bringing to that position and to the Trojans team. Hopefully, it'll be a change. But all you college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy, and I love this, and I know you will too. So Prize Picks offers every sport you can think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, MLB, soccer, MMA, and so much more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the one world. Sorry, anyone in the world offers all the star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players you might not have ever even heard of. So Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown.
Anything you want, they got.
There you go. All of your users that deposit and use your promo code will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So you pick 2 to 5 players and an over under on their projections, and then you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. So it sounds pretty good to me. A great way to win some money. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy. And Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Michael, I don't know a lot about daily fantasy. I'm more of a, you know, I'm in some fantasy leagues, but I don't know about daily fantasy. But Prize Picks sounds like it's kind of worth it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everything you laid out there, if you've got bets that you want to play, I mean, why in the world wouldn't you hop on at that point? Because it just makes it easy there, Cindy. And that's what they're about. They're about making this easy for the customer and play. And you know what? Again, why wouldn't you hop in there? That's right. The
point. Right. It's not a question of
this isn't a fly-by-night situation. This is something they're going to be here. And you know what? They're going to help you help. They're going to help you help yourself, especially in the pocketbook.
There you go. That's what we like to hear. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now Dante Williams, very, I guess, easy option because he's already, you know, within mm-hmm. the program. He'll be an interim. I am hearing whispers about people hoping that this doesn't turn into the same situation that happened with Clay Helton, where he was the interim coach and then got awarded the head coach. Mm-hmm. I do think that most Trojan fans want to see them go out and actually interview candidates that would, you know, come in and really make a difference. But right. An exciting opportunity for someone like Dante Williams, being in that cornerback room as a coach. He already knows this team. What can you tell us about Dante Williams and like what the Trojans can expect?
Cindy, that's a great question. Dante is about as good a recruiter as you're ever going to find. He steps into a living room and kids, their parents immediately want him to go play. I mean, heck, he was at Arizona for a year and he had four high four-star kids committed to come here. And that's at Arizona. So he can recruit at USC. The problem is I just don't know if he can coach or not. But it's a little bit – I'm sure that this is a little bit of an audition just to kind of see what exactly Dante can do. Because if Dante can coach, you might be looking at a guy that they're going to keep around there because he's a great recruiter there, Cindy. And, you know, players like him, I just don't know if he can coach. And I think USC is probably trying to figure out what exactly he can do in that department.
Yeah, so – I've already seen people trying to throw out suggestions of who they would like to see take in that head coaching job when it becomes a role, you know, to actually fill in. And so obviously they will probably consider Dante depending on how he does in this interim position. But who would you like to see in that role or maybe even just be considered?
You know, I mean, you're USC, you should be going for the best candidates out there, but they're weird there. They're weird. I mean, because it seems that they always kind of go just for a USC guy, just for USC guy's sake. And I've never understood that, Cindy. I mean, yeah, sure. If you got a great coach, I get it. Totally get it. But why in the world are you hiring people like Clay Helton and making him the final coach when, you know what, you could probably do a lot better than that, you know?
Yeah.
That's like you own a restaurant and you know what? You hire your cousin who's going to limit what you can make, but you're just hiring him because it's your cousin, when in actuality, your neighbor's going to make you a lot more money. It's just never really made sense. It's kind of a cheesy anecdote, but, you know, well, whatever. I'd like to see him. Man, it's a great question who you go after. I'd love to see him go after a guy like Urban Meyer because I think he's going to get blown out after a year. It just doesn't strike me as an NFL coach. But those are the kind of guys that I would look at because USC should be a top five job. And if it's not, then you got some real problems in the administration.
I'm hearing the Urban Meyer one quite a lot at this point. Like, I've seen it tweeted a lot. I've heard people, you know, say those things. Do you feel like because he came back to football, he would consider coming back to college football?
Yeah, I just don't know that he would go to USC. For whatever reason, USC doesn't seem to be as attractive a job as maybe I think it is. I think it's because there's a lot of politics in play there. But yes, if he's available, I mean, he's outside of Nick Saban, he's the best college football coach in the world. You bring in a guy like Urban Meyer and you say, all right, you can coach here for the next 10 years. I mean, that's really what you look at that point. But those are that's the kind of name that you're looking at. You should look at somebody big time. You should look at somebody who can, basically elevate you to national championship status very quickly. And that's what somebody like Urban Meyer can do.
Now, the one thing I'm going to say, because we've seen it in the Pac-12 right now, is someone like Chip Kelly coming from Oregon and going to UCLA and it taking a while for him to get back to that, you know, national champion status. We're seeing UCLA play really well to start off this season so far. And it's probably the best we've seen them since he's been there. But do you feel like that's a possibility of being an issue as well? Because, you know, I don't know if it's a matter of new systems and trying to get used to that, because that's just being a new coach anywhere. But like, there's that pressure for the coach knowing what they come from, you know?
That's a great question. I think that Chip Kelly's a little bit different because at UCLA, they didn't have the kind of talent that he has there. So it was going to take him a little time. USC is just never USC. There's never going to be a talent issue or talent disparity. You're always going to have the best players in the conference. You just need somebody that can coach. So if you get a good coach, I think it's pretty easy for somebody to be able to step in almost immediately and be good. You know, it'll be fascinating to see who exactly is on their list. Now, and my concern is I'm a USC fan is that they're going to hire the equipment manager just because he went to USC. And that's, I think, a little bit of that's where I would be concerned if I'm an SC fan. This is time to move outside the family and find somebody that's good. You've tried it with Lane Kiffin, didn't work. You've tried it with Sark, didn't work. You tried it with Clay Helton, didn't work. You've got to go for the best person at this point. And you know what? That's probably not somebody in the USC family.
Well, I was going to say, if they keep it in the family, they can go ahead and hire me. You know, I'm ready for the job.
I mean, seriously, I mean, you're a Southern California girl. I mean, you know, go for it. and you bring in the Washington State ties as well. How good is that?
I mean, I have a degree from USC, too, so I'm in the mix. I can do it.
Seriously, I mean, when you got a degree, I mean, you basically hopscotched the Pac-12 right here. You got Washington State, you got USC. You're good to go. I mean, I'm nominating Cindy Robinson right now.
Okay, well, I'm not quite sure if I could really handle that job. I'd probably be sweating bullets. And if you're someone like me who struggles with sweating a little bit, then Sweat Block is the product for you. It's doctor created, doctor recommended, and it works for up to 7 days per use. This is the Sweat Block Wipes. So it's dry shirt guaranteed. If Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. That's the best part about it, right? It's been featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters, who you know is always under pressure.
They're going to sweat.
Right, they're going to sweat. They have all the all the gear on, they're around fire, like it's a lot. So mm-hmm. if it works for them, it's definitely going to work for you. Basically, you use it at night, and then you go to sleep, wake up, go about your day. I would still recommend using deodorant, but Sweatbox has multiple products to choose from. It's stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants, and you just simply apply it, go about your business, and definitely worth trying. I know I've used it and it's worked for me, so I definitely will recommend for you to try it as well. So if you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatbox. You can get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code Locked On or at Amazon and CVS. Definitely don't sleep on that product, you guys. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're looking for a new protein bar, Built Bar is the one for you. It's literally super healthy, super tasty. Everyone raves about it. Best part about it, 9 delicious flavors from coconut to cherry to mint brownie. It ranges from everything. And if you're
don't they have?
Exactly. That's the question you end up asking because it's something for everyone. Chocolate lovers, fruity flavor lovers, even if you want that coconut taste, you know. If you're someone who likes to try them all, there's the mix box where you can get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. So beyond the tasty part, Built Bar is super healthy. 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. So it really doesn't get any better than that. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Brian is in love with those. Mm-hmm. I still haven't fully tried them. I hate to admit that, but look, I've heard nothing but great things, but I have not got my order yet. You know, I got my Sweatblock order. I did not get my Built Bar order. So,
you know what? We can only do so much for you at this point. If you're not, I mean, you don't know what you're missing when it comes to a Built Bar at this stage in the game, Cindy. You're a very smart woman, and I'm disappointed in you right there.
I'm just going to take matters into my own hand.
Just go to GNC and get a Built Bar.
There you go. I'm going to put my own order in.
Charging Locked On, and you know what? It'll be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Right. Okay. That's my to-do list for this week. I promise I'll get it done. Now I want to talk to you about what you came on the show to talk about initially, and that is your Arizona Wildcats. Now I'm a little sad. Because last week I was going hard. Like, look, they're trying to show you guys they're going to be different this year. And then they just crumbled.
Oh, they're terrible. What I watched, that was absolutely terrible. I mean, Cindy, they were down 21-0 with 7 minutes left in the first quarter. I mean, that's really all you need to know at that point. I mean, they looked terrible on both sides of the ball. They looked slow. They looked small. I mean, San Diego State just pushed them around. And, you know, again, San Diego State's good. San Diego State shouldn't be a program, though, that is just pushing around a Power 5 program. But you also saw, too, that Arizona's bad. I mean, Arizona, they're not going to win many games this year.
Is it a matter of it just being a bad game? Because the game against BYU wasn't bad, or is BYU just not as advertising?
It's a great question.
BYU whooped on Utah.
No doubt. And
Brian's going to be mad at me for saying that because we're going to have to talk about it too. But
I had a friend tell me, and I think these are wise words. He said the biggest differential where you really find out a team is from week 1 to week 2. And I would be curious if Arizona played BYU again, if that game would be close, because I think BYU found themselves. And unfortunately, I think Arizona found themselves as well. They're bad, Cindy. I mean, you know, maybe it's a one game thing. Hopefully that's the situation. Jed Fish just announced he's going to go with a new quarterback. We'll see how that works out. But right now I look at it and I think to myself, this is a team that's going to win about 2 games. They're bad. It's hard to say, but there's really no other way to put it. This is a bad, bad football team. And what you saw on Saturday, quite frankly, was embarrassing.
Okay. So moving forward into the next week, I know your thought behind them is that they're not going to win many games.
Right.
What is something in particular, offensively and defensively, that they really need to work on to get prepared for their next game?
Well, Will Plummer's going to start, and I think he's better than Gunnar Cruz. He can at least try to throw the ball downfield, so that's a good starting block. I think the question, though, is what exactly are they going to be able to do on the defensive side, because they can't tackle. And hopefully they can learn how to tackle a little bit. But I think the problem, though, is that there's just not a ton of talent there. There's just not a ton of you had guys that were, you know, they were filling the gaps and they were getting absolutely blown off by the San Diego State ball carriers. And I don't know how Arizona is going to correct that other than the fact that you need to learn how to tackle. And, you know, if we're in game two of the season and you don't know how to tackle, I mean, that's a major problem right there. Cindy, like I said, they'll beat NAU this week. But you know, after that, I don't know where all the wins are going to come from. I think it's going to be difficult for them.
All right. I'm sorry, Wildcat fans. I had all the faith in the world.
First, you know, Built Bar, now this.
They were making me a believer last week. I just was like, look at this. And they lost, but it was some fight, you know? Right, we saw a little potential there. I'm not going to give up just yet. I'm not going to Clay Helton them, okay? I'm going to think that, you know, they could still turn it around. It's very early in the season, but we didn't predict them to have a great season anyway, so it's not like we're really letting down Wildcat fans too tough.
Yeah, no, you know, we came into the season knowing what we – I came into the season, you know, not optimistic, and I'm still not optimistic. But, you know, if you're down in the old Pueblo, Cindy, we look at things big picture here, and we'll get you in about 5 years.
Okay, 5 years when it'll matter then, I guess. You know, you'll be able to be really competitive. I get it.
That's what we're going for. It's the little things.
Do you have any Luke's locks for us this week?
My only Luke's lock that I would probably, that's a great question. you know what? Whatever the line is when Arizona NAU, take Arizona to cover that. I think they're going to blast the Lumberjacks.
Okay.
There's my Luke's locks for you.
Now, he claims they're not going to win too many games, but this one is obtainable, so this, I trust him.
Yep, absolutely. Go with it. Take it to the bank.
All right. Any of you that need some more betting advice, you can head on over to Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Sorry. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. And then follow along on YouTube here. Subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff on Locked On Pac-12. Soon we will have the other conferences joining us with their shows. So you definitely want to get this going and get a good following here. But then you can also listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Same thing with Locked On Wildcats. Make sure you keep up to date with everything going on with the Arizona Wildcats. And, you know, right now we're deep into football season. Soon we'll be talking about basketball. October is right around the corner and a lot to discuss. So thank you so much for joining us again, Michael. We always appreciate you and your insight. Yes. And until next time, you guys, make sure you stay locked on Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.